With the 20th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focused on the game, let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the latest and greatest edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast. I am Alex Smith, joined by the one and only Fran Duffy. Fran, how are you doing today?
Alex, I'm doing wonderful. It's a victory Monday here in Philadelphia.
It absolutely is. Eagles coming off a thrilling 35-28 victory over the New England Patriots. Now, typically we record this podcast on Sunday mornings. That's when we like to do it. We like to do it on game day. But because of the college football playoff announcements, which came out later in the day on Sunday, so we didn't have, you know, we wanted to make sure that we had the full scope.
Exactly. We didn't want it to be timed out information.
Right. So, yeah, we didn't want to do hypotheticals. Well, if they match up with this, now we have all the info. It's all laid out there. So apologies for a little bit of a delay here. But now we can really dig into these college football playoff games. Obviously, a lot to talk about. So we'll talk about those college football playoffs and draft buzz. Pick six, we'll talk about the six best players, or six players, according to Fran Duffy, who will not be in bowl games, unfortunately. And then finally, we'll close things out with mailbag. But we'll start things off with draft buzz.
Now it's time for draft buzz.
All right, so as we kick things off here with draft buzz, Fran will start things off, as we typically do, by looking at your Saturday scouting column. The first player that you highlighted is Kevin Hogan. Now, he's a Stanford quarterback. We've talked about him a little bit in the past. When I see him play, obviously, since they both went to Stanford, I see a little bit of Andrew Luck in his game. How similar or dissimilar is he? Obviously, not as talented as Andrew Luck was. He was the number one overall pick. Any similarities there that you see between Hogan and Luck?
I think the similarities come in that they almost kind of, you know, like Andrew Luck's a really good athlete, no question about it. And probably, I think it's fair to say he's a great athlete. His numbers were actually very comparable to Cam Newton's coming out of college. But the way that he moves is a little bit gawky, and that's kind of how Hogan is. So obviously, from a talent standpoint, Andrew Luck's arm is, you know, exponentially better than Kevin Hogan's. Kevin Hogan has made far more mistakes throughout his college career. There was a point last year where many thought Kevin Hogan may transfer from Stanford this past offseason for his senior year. Obviously, that did not happen, and he stayed with the Cardinal. But he had a pretty good year this year, and I'll tell you what, every single time, and I wrote this in the piece, every single time I've watched him, he always makes plays that make you think that he's a pro quarterback. Again, not a starter, You're not saying, okay, this guy's going to come in and future starter, but a guy that can come in and be a backup, compete for a roster spot. I think that he's got a lot of tools that a lot of quarterbacks coming out of the college level don't have in terms of being able to work in the pocket, throw with anticipation, throw with accuracy in all different levels of the field. A lot of pre-snap stuff that a lot of players don't really have, and he showed a lot of different instances this year so far where he's been able to excel pre-snap and put his offense in good position to move the football through the air or on the ground. So I've always been impressed with Hogan from that standpoint.
And switching over to the USC defense, a couple players on there that you spotlighted in your piece as well. Sua Cravens is a guy you've mentioned before, and then cornerback Kevon Seymour.
Yeah, Cravens to me is the guy that is really intriguing, you know, because some people think he's a safety. Some people think he's a linebacker. He plays kind of that big nickel role where really he's almost an extra linebacker. He plays mostly, you know, near the line of scrimmage, but, you know, you'll see a lot of reps where he's lined up in the slot, and he does excel in coverage. You know, for a linebacker, he excels at being able to play in space and cover with slot receivers or tight ends or running backs out of the backfield in man coverage. Shows a pretty good understanding of route breaks and concepts, you know, when he's back in zone. So really an interesting guy from that standpoint. And my big question was, okay, what is he as a linebacker? You know, can he line up stacked in the formation, you know, read a route, read the blocking scheme and kind of navigate through traffic? Because that takes, you know, that takes some time to be able to understand. And the first time they played in that Stanford game back in, I want to say it was either week two or week three, I thought that he had a really strong game. You know, he showed the ability to win at the point of attack, used his hands, took on guys like Kyle Murphy and Josh Garnett in the run game, and was able to stand them up and shed blocks and make plays. I was really, really impressed with Sua Cravens from that game. There have been other moments this year where I've been not so impressed with him, so I want to continue to watch more. I think he is a linebacker. I don't think he's a safety at the next level. Very interesting to see what his role ultimately is once he reaches the NFL.
moving on to what was a really entertaining game on Saturday, and that was Alabama versus Florida. The matchup that you highlighted, Fran, Derrick Henry going up against Antonio Morrison. We talked a little bit about it off air, but right now, is Derrick Henry the Heisman favorite?
I would say that he probably is. You know, you look at a guy that, you know, every single big game this year, he has come through in a big way for the Crimson Tide, especially over the last couple of months of the season, starting with that LSU game where all the attention was paid, and rightfully so, towards Leonard Fournette of LSU, and Henry ended up, you know, outshining him in that game in terms of, you know, production. I know his numbers against the SEC this year have been outstanding. So just a guy that, you know, you can point to several different points throughout the season and say, there's his Heisman moment. There's the point where, you know, he kind of shined above the rest. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey, I think, has had a great season for the Cardinal and has done a really good job out in Stanford in carrying that football team. You almost think, is that West Coast bias going to hurt him a little bit? Not a lot of people, you know, from the central time zone east have seen him. So it'll be interesting to see what ultimately happens. But I think between those two and Deshaun Watson, those are your leaders in the clubhouse right now. Ultimately, I think it'll be Derrick Henry.
And what do you like about Antonio Morrison, linebacker at Florida?
I like Morrison's toughness downhill. I think he's got some athleticism to him. The question is, you know, while he's a good athlete, there were times where I thought he was a little bit too over-aggressive, took himself out of some plays. I think that he gets stuck on blocks a little bit more often than I'd like to see. I'd like to see him get a little bit better with his hands at the point of attack to keep himself clean from offensive linemen. So those are the issues that you really want to see get cleaned up. But a guy that's really physical, really aggressive, isn't afraid to take on a fullback or a tight end coming downhill, shows the ability to be a good tackler. If he can get his hands on you, you're probably going to go to the ground. So a lot of things to like there with Morrison. It seems, too, that he's kind of rebounded off the field because there were some issues that he had earlier in his career, some suspensions. I know he also got injured at one point a couple years ago. So I think that he's kind of rebounded and starting to put some things together here as a senior for the Gators.
Moving to the Big Ten, another interesting matchup. Michigan State wide receiver Aaron Burbridge, who may be the best receiving prospect that we have this year, versus Iowa cornerback Desmond King, two pretty talented kids.
Yeah, and this was a matchup that I was really, really excited about. You have Burbridge, a guy who has always reminded me of Anquan Boldin whenever I've watched him, a guy that's got really good hands, make things look really easy at the catch point. He runs really good routes for a college receiver, and he's not the best athlete, but he's kind of graceful and efficient in the way that he moves. You know, there was the touchdown that he scored on the slant pass 2 weeks ago against Penn State where he pirouetted a defender and then rolled into the end zone. He's just got this naturally elusive way about him that, especially with the ball in his hands, is really deceptive in the way that he moves, especially for a bigger guy. He really excels as a blocker as well. And then on the other side, I really have been impressed with Desmond King whenever I've watched him. I watched him over the summer as a sophomore and continued this year as a junior, even though I'm pretty sure that he's going to go back to school. A guy that has positional versatility, can line up inside, can line up outside. He's got good size, really aggressive towards the run, shows the ability to play in press or in off, has return experience as well, has had a number of big plays in the punt return game for the Hawkeyes this year. So definitely one of the more interesting prospects. And it's just, you know, we've said this in the past, this junior, this underclassman cornerback group is really, really strong. There's a lot of good players coming up in the ranks from the cornerback position, and King is definitely one of those guys.
And then, Fran, a game that I'm sure you had your eye on, Temple and Houston. Obviously not the outcome that the Owls had hoped for, but really a tremendous regular season for Temple this year. Just a season that not many people expected.
No, exactly right. So the matchup that I was focused on was Robbie Anderson, the senior wide receiver, going up against William Jackson, the senior corner. And it was interesting that Anderson was targeted very early in that game a number of different times. And they actually brought it up on the broadcast and said that this was a matchup that the coaches were hoping for, that they were hoping for Robbie Anderson on William Jackson. Anderson's going to the NFLPA game. He's confirmed it. You know, he's accepted the invite there. Hasn't been announced with the Senior Bowl yet. William Jackson's going to the Senior Bowl. I really expected that Anderson would come out on top on this matchup because I saw a guy that's got, you know, he's a bigger kid, Anderson. He's got, you know, good stride length, has the ability to get downfield and can win over the top of defenders. But a guy that really is deceptively athletic, too, can get out of breaks pretty quickly. He's pretty smooth athletically. He runs pretty solid routes. My question is while he shows the ability to go up and win in contested situations, he doesn't do it consistently enough for me. And that was going to be the big test for him going up against Jackson, because Jackson, his biggest strength is the fact that he's so big and he's so strong. He's got the ability to go up and win at the point of attack. So really interested to see that matchup. And I thought Anderson got the better of him on a number of different occasions. So interested to go back and really study that tape, but very fun matchup to watch, to say the least.
And the final matchup from your most recent Saturday scouting column. We're talking FCS here. Richmond wide receiver Reggie Diggs versus William & Mary safety DeAndre Houston Carson.
Yeah, well, I had to throw that in for you.
Yeah, I'm FCS. That's right up my alley.
Exactly right. So the guy really that's from that matchup, and Diggs has been a very productive receiver, big kid who can go up and win in contested situations too. Not as productive as a senior as he was as a junior, but again, a really big kid who can make some plays with on the football. But I was really intrigued when I watched Houston Carson, you know, a guy that was, I believe he's 6'1", 205 pounds, played at corner throughout his career, and they moved him to safety this year. He had always joked with coaches that, hey, look, move me to safety so I can get more tackles. I want more tackles, you know, move me to safety. They changed defensive coordinators this year, and his DB coach got promoted to defensive coordinator, and he took him up on his offer and said, okay, we're going to move you to safety. And I'll tell you what, man, the kid is really, really impressive. And he comes downhill, isn't afraid to lay a hit on a running back, is very aggressive against the run, but then also he's got those corner cover skills. And that's the thing, is you have a guy that's got cornerback skills with the safety size and the safety demeanor. That's a really good combination. Just watching the guy move, I came away just thinking numerous times that he really reminded me, and I ended up going back and comparing the numbers, you know, coming out of school, body type, and then the way that he moved, very similar to HaHa Clinton Dix from Alabama when he was a first-round pick for the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, I don't know. Obviously, I don't think that Houston Carson is going to go as the 20th or 21st pick in the draft, but a guy that is really intriguing because of his size, because of his athleticism, and because of his physicality.
Great stuff from Fran in his Saturday scouting column. You can check that out right now on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And now as we continue draft buzz here, Fran, I want to switch topics a little bit here and focus on some of the best matchups that we'll see in the bowl season, specifically on New Year's Day, and then with the college football playoffs. So the top four, it didn't really surprise people once Michigan State beat Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. Clemson, the number one overall seed, they take on Oklahoma. To me, it seems like Deshaun Watson is a guy who just keeps getting more and more hype. What have you seen out of Watson recently, and who are some other guys to keep in mind in this Clemson-Oklahoma game?
Well, as far as with Deshaun Watson, a guy who's obviously got the athleticism, but then also, you know, I haven't studied him because I know he's a true sophomore, and I'll study him once we get to the summer, once we get to the offseason after the draft. But a guy that he shows some ability from the pocket, so I want to see if it's consistent. Or if it's, you know, just kind of the flash plays that I've noticed whenever I've watched them. But he's got some tools, so he's impressive. I'm really excited to dig deeper into him. I know some people had really expected to leave a little bit more from him in terms of production in the system, but he was missing his number one wide receiver. Mike Williams got hurt in week one of the season. He will return to Clemson next year, so Watson and Williams will be one of the big combos to watch for 2016. But when you look at the rest of this Clemson team, you know, Wayne Gallman is the running back, the underclassman who has done a really good job for them this year, a big physical runner. Actually reminded me a little bit of former Temple running back Bernard Pierce, who ended up being a third-round pick for the Baltimore Ravens, now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Gallman's a big physical guy. The question I had coming in was his vision and decisiveness when things got cloudy up in front of him. But, you know, just a guy that can win in a number of different ways. But mostly he's a physical, angry runner, and that's really his calling card. He's going to go up against an Oklahoma front that, you know, you got Eric Stryker, who's kind of that undersized pass rusher, mostly plays in space, a lot like what we talked about with Sua Cravens, is used a number of different ways on the perimeter. But Charles Tapper, the defensive lineman for Oklahoma, I'm a big, big fan of. I like him a lot more than I like Stryker, to be honest. I really like Tapper, and he's a guy that is very, very disruptive against the run, can win in a number of different ways as a one-gapper, as a two-gapper. Very impressed with his game. So that will be a matchup that I'll be excited to talk about is Charles Tapper, the defensive lineman, one of the big run stuffers for the Sooners, against Wayne Gallman, the rusher from Clemson.
And then 2-3, we have Alabama versus Michigan State. We've already talked about Burbridge from Michigan State. We've talked about Derrick Henry from Bama. Who are some other names to keep an eye on in that one?
Well, obviously, you're going to talk about Connor Cook, the quarterback from Michigan State, and this is going to be a way to really elevate, you know, because some people coming into the year, I think everyone kind of thought Connor Cook was the best senior quarterback, and you know he was the name that everyone was talking about. He had been a 3-year starter coming into the year for the Spartans, and he had already been an MVP, already won a Rose Bowl. You know, a lot of different things to like about what he has done throughout his career, and he had a pretty good resume. But then all the questions started creeping in after, you know, another summer where he was not named captain of his team. And it's like, oh, well, you know, what's going on between the ears? Do his teammates not like him? Do the coaches not like him? What's going on there? And those questions will remain. We are going to hear about that over the course of the next 2 months. No question about it. That will be a topic of discussion, especially once you get to the Senior Bowl and then to the Combine and those things start being a part of the national discussion. But, you know, this is going to be a chance for him to really put a stamp on his career in the playoffs against Alabama. You know, obviously the defensive front there is just outstanding, you know, with the A'shaun Robinson and Jerron Reed and Reggie Ragland, who's an absolute stud, and all these different guys that they rotate in and out. And, you know, in the secondary, you've got Cyrus Jones and the junior Eddie Jackson. I mean, there's guys at all three levels of this defense that Connor Cook's going to have to contend with. It'll be a very interesting matchup from that standpoint.
Moving on to the New Year's Day bowl games, and we've got some really, really entertaining matchups to bring us into the new year in college football. First one we want to look at here is the Citrus Bowl, and that's Michigan versus Florida. We've talked about Florida a little bit already. Michigan versus Florida, who stands out there?
Well, you know, you look at it's probably, to me, you look at this Florida defensive front, and I think that, you know, they've got some really intriguing guys. Jonathan Bullard, we talked about Marson a little bit. Alex McAllister, the edge rusher, who's an underclassman, who I think I've heard he's about 50-50 on whether or not he's going to enter the draft. Going up against this Michigan front, look, the running back, Devion Smith, has shown some ability throughout his career. I think he's got next-level ability. We'll see what he ends up being in terms of a pro prospect, but it'll be a big test for this Michigan front. And then you look on the other side, there are some really interesting guys along the Florida offense or defensive line. On the Michigan defensive line going up against this Florida offense. You know, Kelvin Taylor, the running back from Florida, really kind of a change of pace type of runner who's got good receiving ability. He's got the speed, the quickness. You know, going up against this Michigan defensive front, it's a senior-laden linebacking core. A lot of interesting pieces up front for the Wolverines.
Perhaps the game of the day on New Year's Day will be the Fiesta Bowl, Notre Dame versus Ohio State. These were two teams that were they had chances to be the number one overall seed. A lot of people thought that they would end up being college football playoff teams this year, but instead they go head-to-head in the Fiesta Bowl. Just a lot of talent on both sides. We've talked about Joey Bosa from Ohio State often on this podcast, but this is going to be a really fun game to watch.
If you told me that the over-under on NFL players being on the field for that game and actually seeing snaps in this game, not even talking about the red shirt guys, if you set it at like 53... I would probably take the over. Like, I mean, these teams are so incredibly talented on both sides of the football. Both have recruited extremely well, and that talent, they're continuing to develop that talent. You know, obviously the matchup that everyone's going to be talking about is Joey Bosa, the edge rusher, who is pretty much set to declare for the draft. And he said the only reason that he would stay at Ohio State is for his brother, who's an incoming freshman. But I can't imagine that would be the case. He's already won a national title. I would be surprised if he did stay in school.
Brotherly love only goes so far.
Yeah.
When you have a chance to be a top pick in the NFL draft,
exactly,
you might
right.
take it.
But going up against Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle from Notre Dame, who a lot of people see as the best senior offensive lineman, and I think I would agree that he is the best senior offensive lineman. So you have those two guys going head to head. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, the running back from Ohio State, going up against Jalen Smith, who's one of my favorite linebackers in the country. I mean, you literally can go up and down. Michael Thomas, the receiver from Ohio State, Kaveri Russell, the cornerback from Notre Dame, on the other side of the line of scrimmage. So just on both sides of the football, Nick Martin, the center for Notre Dame, he's going to be matched up against Adolphus Washington, the nose tackle from Ohio State. Just straight across the board, there are so many matchups in this game. Some of the best players on both sides being matched up against the best player on the other side. It's going to be a really, really fun game to watch.
How about the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl? Stanford versus Iowa. This to me just seems like a real blue collar game.
Yeah.
Not as much of a flashy game, which the Fiesta Bowl is between Notre Dame and Ohio State. But two just really solid football teams in Stanford and Iowa. Couple players to keep an eye on there.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of hustle in this game. There's gonna be a lot of blue collar technique in this game. There's gonna be a lot of instincts, a lot of want to. I'm trying to think of the other cliches that always come up. But, you know, there's a lot of talented players on both of these teams. You know, we talked about Desmond King, and he's going to be matched up for a good amount of snaps against Devin Kajuste from Stanford. We're going to see him at the Shrine Game, a big, tall wide receiver who can do a lot of different things down the field. You know, I really like the kid Lomax from Jordan Lomax from Iowa, the safety. He's a big hitter, shows the ability to play on the back end as well, but as a downhill player. Going up against Christian McCaffrey in a number of different areas, you know, in the passing game and in the running game, that's a matchup that I'm really, really excited to see. So that'll be an interesting game to watch for sure.
And then the final game of New Year's Day, the Sugar Bowl, Oklahoma State versus Ole Miss.
Yeah, and you've got the number one matchup in this game. Ole Miss has got the left tackle, Laramie Tunsil, who, you know, I've said before how much I love him, and I've been thinking about this. I think he's the best offensive lineman I've ever watched.
What?
College prospect. I think he's the best college offensive lineman I've ever watched.
And you've, how long have you been thoroughly watching college prospects?
Well, in my current role, I would say, you know, obviously it's only been, and I continue to learn more each year. So I like to think that I've only really, I want to say really know what I've talked about. It's almost one of those things where like when you did it, like I want to say I've been doing it for what? I mean, 14 years now, something like that. But you almost, you know, even 6-7 years ago, I didn't know what I didn't know. I've continued. I'm still continuing to learn a lot.
Sure.
But in recent memory, he's the best. I mean, he's better than Joe Cole. He's better than Fisher and Lane Johnson were that in that class. You know, I'm trying to think of the last couple of years. I mean,
I think Brandon Scherff was the.
He's better than
Scherff.
And I like Scherff, but he's better than Brandon Scherff. I mean, this kid is the total package in terms of.
I'm going to write his name down. Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil. Write it down. As a guy, and look, everyone kind of knows that he's a top five pick, and a guy who's got unique athleticism. He's got great toughness, but he plays with really good technique as well. He's very sound in his technique, patient with his hands, has really heavy hands too, and can move people. Just a really, really fun guy to watch along the offensive line. So Laramie Tunsil against the edge rusher from Oklahoma State, Emmanuel Ogba, has been one of the most productive offensive or defensive linemen in the entire country this year. Really the biggest name on this Okie State team. Going up against the biggest name from this Ole Miss team, it's going to be a huge, huge matchup to watch. Also, keep an eye, obviously, on Ole Miss wide receiver Laquan Treadwell, who most recently it was reported today that he is very heavily leaning towards entering the draft. I've compared him in the past to an Alshon Jeffrey-type receiver, so just keep an eye on Treadwell as well.
Great stuff, Fran, as always with Draft Buzz. Now, before we move into pick six, Fran, our flights have officially been booked.
Yes.
To the Shrine Game.
Yes.
And the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
This is breaking news.
Flights and hotel are booked.
Flights and hotel are booked.
Hopefully we have to cancel both.
Correct. Correct. Hopefully the Eagles are making a nice playoff run at that point.
But we got to cover our bases and make sure we're not paying out the wazoo for
Correct.
Plane tickets later.
Just planning ahead. I'm a rookie at this. This will be my first time traveling to either of these two events.
Yes.
So right now for all of our podcast listeners to hear, give me some tips. Give me some things that you look forward to every year and the things that really make these events stand out.
Well, I will say, and some of our listeners can attest, that one of the things that we very much enjoy from the Shrine Game is the Murphy Bed, which is where we do most of the podcast recording, because from the Senior Bowl, we're on Radio Row, we're at the Player Hotel, you know, it's big things, it's lights and glamour,
sure.
And you know, there's all kinds of things going on around us. The Adam Kaplans of the world just feet away. but, you know, when we're at St. Petersburg, you know, Adam Kaplan is... you know, two doors down in his hotel room, we have to be in our hotel room, and I'm usually sitting on my Murphy bed. You will be sitting on your bed across the room, and we will be recording the podcast from our hotel room each and every day from St. Petersburg. So there's always that to look forward to.
Why do you get the Murphy bed?
Because I'm a nice guy and I offer up the king size bed.
Okay.
Just because that's the kind of guy I am.
Okay.
But what else where else can you sit? Can you wake up in the morning, go get some breakfast?
Well, you can do that anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't know. That's not over. Not over yet. Yeah. Going to drive down the highway here. Go to a football practice, watch it, talk about it, write about it. Go eat some lunch. Go drive to another one across town, and then do the same thing. And then at night, we're going to do our podcast. We're going to write about what we saw, and then we're going to go eat dinner, and then we're going to have a little bit of fun and then go to sleep and then wake up in the morning and do the same exact thing for a couple of days. And then we're going to go to Mobile at the Senior Bowl and we're going to do all the same thing. And we're going to see all of our friends that we see every single year.
Some new friends.
You're going to get to meet Tommy Lawler for the very first
time.
That's
true. Yeah. I've never met him.
Yeah.
Does great stuff for PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Yep. I've never met him.
So we're going to,
I've never met Tony Pauline.
You've never met Tony, who's an absolute gem. He's a national treasure, Tony Pauline. So, Tony will be joining us on the podcast. We'll see. I think he'll have an increased role in the podcast this year. So very, very excited to get down to both All-Star games and get things going as we start to kick this into overdrive.
Yes, very excited to take it all in for the first time. So with that, let's transition into Pick 6.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
All right, so for Pick 6, obviously we have the full slate of bowl games has been announced. We know which teams are matching up with who. But Fran, we're going to go a little bit off the radar with Pick 6 today, and you're going to give some of your best players not appearing in bowl games. The first player on your list, somebody that you've spoken very highly of in the past, and that's the quarterback Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz from North Dakota State. I'm cheating a little bit. It's a little bit of a stretch. Obviously, yeah, he's not playing in a bowl game because he's an FCS, but he's also not playing in the postseason because of an injury. So I'll use that as my excuse here.
Is North Dakota still alive in the FCS playoffs is the question.
I don't believe
Have you not been following the FCS playoffs?
I don't believe they are.
The Fordham Rams lost in the first round to Tennessee Chattanooga on the road.
UTC.
Yes.
The Fighting T.O.'s. The
Fighting Terrell Owens, correct. Sure. Yeah, tough game, but another good year for the Fordham Rams.
There we go. Well, listen, Carson Wentz is, while a lot of people don't necessarily know, I think he's starting to gain a little bit of buzz right now, but you know, a couple months ago, I don't think a lot of people knew who Wentz was, but a guy who's really, really intriguing. I think that he's got just as much a right to be the top senior quarterback as anybody else in this class. 6'5", 235 pounds. He's got a good arm. He's a good athlete. He's a really good decision maker. He's pretty accurate. He's not pinpoint like a Cody Kessler from USC, but pretty accurate with the football. And he does some things pre-snap. We talked about it earlier with Kevin Hogan. Wentz had made a lot of similar plays, you know, checking his team out of bad looks, you know, whether he was changing up run plays, changing up protections, getting the ball out to hot reads and audibling. I mean, just does a lot of different things in the line of scrimmage that you don't typically see from a college quarterback. So very, very excited to see Carson Wentz at the Senior Bowl. Hopefully he is healthy. Reportedly, he believes he will be. So very excited to see him in Mobile.
Number two on your list, wide receiver Nelson Spruce out of Colorado.
Yeah, as a senior wide receiver, you know, for the Buffaloes, 6'1", 196 pounds. So he's got solid size. You know, he's not going to wow you. He's not going to be one of those guys that is going to be maybe a consistent red zone, you know, one-on-one type of threat. But a guy who is just, every time you watch him, you want to like him because he's a really competitive receiver in everything that he does. He goes up and he tries to fight for the football. He fights for every inch that he gets after the catch. He's really good as a blocker and does a lot of different things in the run game to help things, you know, going along the ground. But he's a good route runner. He's got strong hands. He shows the ability to win in those different scenarios. He consistently plucks the ball away from his frame. But the question with him is that he's just not a good athlete and he's not a deep speed guy. So how high will a guy like that go? That's the big question, because he's not a guy that's going to consistently separate because of his foot speed. He's just not. So can he do it with technique consistently at the next level? That will be the big question for Spruce.
And for the rest of the list, we switch over to the defense, and we'll start things off with pass rusher Eddie Yarbrough from Wyoming.
Yeah, a guy that I haven't really talked about. I don't think I've talked about him on this podcast, and I don't think I've talked about him on the College Draft podcast with Ross Tucker either. He's 6'3", 253 pounds. I watched him over the summer as a junior. He plays as that left end in that 4-3 scheme. He's got, you know, kind of a power leverage guy. He's a little bit of a squatty build. He's got really strong hands. He uses them pretty well, too. He knows how to attack offensive tackles in a number of different ways. Kind of a high motor guy. The question, again, with him, we talked about it with Spruce, what kind of athlete is Eddie Yarbrough? So we'll get a chance to see that. I would assume he'll be at the Shrine Game or the Senior Bowl. He hasn't been announced for either, but intriguing guy for sure, and a guy that, you know, while Wyoming wasn't exactly a powerhouse this year, has NFL potential.
Next guy on your list, one of your favorites, Jahad Ward from Illinois.
Yeah, I've talked about him a number of different times. Absolute stud. You know, he was on the worst team in the Big Ten, but a guy that is just, you know, 6'5", 295 pounds. Guys that big should not move as well as he does. I think he's got Fletcher Cox type of traits in terms of his size and his athleticism. So high motor kid. I'm really excited to see him in the Senior Bowl. I think he's got a chance to be one of the best players there.
And then two cornerbacks round out the list here. Sean Davis from Maryland, and then Maurice Kennedy from UVA.
Yeah, Sean Davis, we've talked about in the past, 6'1", 200 pounds. Reminds me of Eric Rowe in a lot of different ways. Has corner experience, has safety experience. Played as a corner his senior year, much like Eric Rowe did. Physical against the run. He shows the ability to win in press situations. Can go up and win in the air. Really physical guy, an instinctive guy. Really excited to see Sean Davis down in Mobile. He'll be at the Senior Bowl. And another guy who's going to be down there is another big corner, 6'1", 190 pounds, Maurice Kennedy. who's a big kid. He's instinctive. He lines up outside in base, and then he slides inside to the nickel spot. And you know, when they go to their sub package, and a guy who's got good instincts. You know, he shows the ability to read route breaks early. He's physical, come downhill and lay a hit on you in the run game. The question for him is, what kind of an athlete is he, and what kind of foot speed does he have the ability to turn and run with receivers really well down the field? So that'll be the big question. He'll have to answer both at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine. We'll see what he times out at. But an intriguing guy for sure. Kennedy, that Virginia secondary is very, very talented. You know, they have another senior, Demetrius Nicholson, and they have a corner, Tim Davis, who was really, really intriguing. Is it Tim Davis or Tim Harris? That I'm thinking of, but interesting guy. They've got three different corners there that played a high level for the Cavaliers.
Tim Harris, a former Philadelphia Eagles employee.
That's true, but I think it is actually Tim Harris now that I'm thinking about it. So,
Frank, great stuff in pick six as always, and I think we'll finish things out here with our draft mailbag.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
And it is now time to close things out on this edition of the Eagles. Not the Eagles, no. We'll do it over. I was going to say Eagles Insider Podcast.
That's fine.
Three.
Take your time before you do it. So I'll see the cut.
Three, two. And it is now time to wrap things up here on this edition of the Journey to the Draft Podcast. And we'll do so by digging into our draft mailbag. Just one question that we've got on Twitter today, but... you know, give Eagles fans a little bit of time. They're still celebrating that win over New England, which is probably why we didn't get as many questions today. But we did get one question, and this one comes from Jontrell Henderson at a good friend of the program on Twitter, who wants to know, what effect do you think the wide OL splits you see in college have on defenders, especially one-gap defenders?
You know, I don't think, because obviously it's a game-to-game thing when you look at it, because, you know, they're not going up against teams with wide splits each and every week, and some teams are much more likely to see the wide, you know, Washington State, they line up with wide splits along the offensive line, down in, down out. Some teams, they just kind of mixed in. Some teams, it's more than others, obviously. But, you know, the big thing is that you just want to be able to see when that gap is tighter, obviously everything happens faster, you know, so defense or offensive lineman can get your hands on you faster. Whereas when it's got a wider gap, you've got more time to be able to see what's coming. And, you know, it's not something that you see at the NFL level. So if a guy who's playing as a defensive lineman against a wider split, you've got a bigger area that you've got to cover that you've got to be responsible for in the run game. But you've got more time to be able to see what's coming at you. So it's kind of a double-edged sword where you can kind of see both sides of it, why it can be both a plus and a minus going up against those kind of schemes. But I would say that it for a defensive end or for a defensive lineman, you know, really it just comes down to you just have a little bit more time to be able to see what's coming at you. Although, like I said, you have those wide splits. Now your area of responsibility, if you're not athletic enough to be able to hold up you know, and cover a lot of ground, you all of a sudden have much more ground to cover.
I'm going to throw a bonus question at you.
What do you got?
This one comes directly from me.
Okay.
Now that the college football regular season is over, obviously you still have the bowl games, but a lot less games on the schedule. When it comes to watching film, does that give you more time, or does it, you know, kind of take away from you because there's less to watch?
I would say it's probably the same amount. Because honestly, like, and when I'm watching college football on the weekends, like when games are on, when I'm watching them live, I'm not like furiously taking notes.
Right.
I'm trying to watch the game and enjoy it as a fan. So when the games aren't on, I'm watching like The Leftovers and like The Walking Dead and you know, something else. I have my study time, and then I've got my fandom time. And usually anytime I'm watching college football, it's that comes more into my fan time, as you know, instead of me watching like Criminal Minds or you know, any of the other 100 TV programs that I take in, since I'm a furious TV watcher, it's usually spent on college football.
All right. Well,
so that's a good question, though. Yeah. People always ask, like, what's the process? Yeah, you know, what is the process like?
I trust the process, Frank.
Yeah, thank you.
I trust the process.
I try to trust the process, too.
Great stuff, as always, from Fran Duffy. Be sure to follow Fran on Twitter, at FDuffy3, for all the latest college draft insights. And I think that'll wrap things up for the latest edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast. We thank all of you for listening and for submitting questions. Be sure to rate and subscribe, comment, whether you listen on iTunes or Stitcher, whatever it is, let us know what you think about our Eagles podcast. And I think we'll sign off here. For Fran Duffy, I'm Alex Smith, and we'll talk to you guys next week.